Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Happy hump day. It is June 20th, 2018, and I am your host, the man behind the mic that will be commanding this ship throughout the next 60 minutes. I am Al Martin. We've got a great hour of sports talk coming your way, an hour filled with no guests, just straight up sports talk. And of course, that allows you to be directly a part of the hour. I'll remind you all how you can weigh in just a moment. But what is on the docket on today's current sports, you ask? Well, it is one of my favorite weeks of the sporting calendar, seeing as though the NBA draft will take place out in NYC tomorrow. It is draft eve, if you will, and I will address a few NBA draft questions that I have myself pertaining to this year's 2018 class. Of course, we will talk about Jaren Jackson Jr., where he will go. Also, Miles Bridges, who is speaking to the media as I speak to you all. I'll bring to you just a bit of a taste of what he had to say concerning where he believes he will fit the best in this year's NBA draft. And we've been really marveling over the draft stock of Jaren Jackson Jr., right? I mean, he is one of those prospects that NBA scouts, GMs, and coaches really salivate over because he can do so many things. I mean, he's already got an NBA body. He's got a crazy wingspan. He can take you inside, outside. There are a few question marks, but again, that's expected, right? When you talk about such a young prospect as he'll have 2 years in the NBA until he reaches 21. I mean, it's amazing, and I think Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to have a great NBA career, but I do have a few question marks when it comes to him. I'll also elaborate on a few other NBA draft prospects, and also we'll talk about the LeBron sweepstakes, which seem to be getting more interesting by the day. Also, new odds have come out concerning which teams will make the college football playoff. I'll tell you what those odds are and how those odds really speak directly to how many people feel nationally about both the Michigan State football program and the University of Michigan football program. And then to close out the show, we'll have a light conversation concerning the new Madden video game. It's one of the most popular sporting video games out there, probably the most popular sports video game of all time. And there's a lot of anger on the side of Detroit Lions fans out there because Matthew Stafford, quarterback of the Honolulu Blue, is actually ranked lower than Andrew Luck on that game. And we all know that Andrew Luck sat out last year because of injury. So a lot of Lions fans are upset at that. So I'll have brief thoughts on that as well. And of course, you can weigh in throughout this hour. Many ways in which you can do so. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Go to Facebook.com/currentsports and watch the live stream there, or Facebook.com/WKAR News. Also, you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. You know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, it has not been officially confirmed, but it is being reported by a few sources out there. One of those sources being WLNS-TV6, that former East Lansing boys basketball coach Steve Fittimore is slated to become the next head coach of the Lansing Sexton boys basketball team. Now, many of you know that Fittimore resigned from East Lansing High School in the wake of a suspension during an altercation with a parent as well as the East Lansing High School athletic director after a game. So if he goes to Sexton, he will enter his ninth season as a head coach and really hopes to bring a new kind of energy for the Big Reds. And you talk about history as it pertains to the Lansing Sexton boys basketball team. I mean, some of my earliest memories as a sports reporter here in the area is covering Carlton Valentine and Denzel Valentine, Bryn Forbes, and that whole, you know, state championship crew. A lot of history there, and I have no doubt that wherever Coach Fittimore coaches, he will be a successful head coach. I think this is a good move for Steve. Actually shot him a text this morning. Nothing has been confirmed just yet, but this is what is out on the wire, I should say. So when it's confirmed, we hope to get Steve on the show to talk about this new rumored position. All right, Michigan football coach Jim Harbaugh has offered a scholarship to, get this, a seventh grade quarterback, Dante Jacob Moore. He's 13 years old. He will enter eighth grade in the fall at AGBU Alex and Marie Manoogian School, a charter program in Michigan. He received an offer on Monday after participating at Michigan's football camp in Ann Arbor. That's according to Moore's father, Otha Sr. Recruiting middle schoolers isn't out of the ordinary for Michigan, which in May offered Tyler Martin, no relation to me, who played linebacker for Cambridge, Massachusetts, Buckingham, Brown, and Nicholas High School last season as an eighth grader. Now, in March, eighth grader Ty Simpson also got an offer from Michigan as well. So Jim Harbaugh, this is not out of the ordinary for him and his program, and frankly, it's not out of the ordinary for college sports, period. So Michigan offering a scholarship to a seventh grade quarterback. All right, keeping it pushing. It was a great night of mid-Michigan baseball last night as the Lansing Lugnuts hosted for the first time in 16 years the Midwest League All-Star Game. The Lansing Lugnuts All-Star soaked in the experience of playing in an All-Star Game home turf. They were part of the winning squad as the Eastern Division pulled away with the dub against the Western Division in dramatic fashion. 22-year-old Dayton Dragons infielder Montrell Marshall made his experience in Lansing extra rewarding by delivering a clutch hit in crunch time during yesterday's All-Star game. He played at the game-winning run, a walk-off win with his hit with two outs in the bottom of the 10th inning to lead the Eastern Division squad to the victory over the Western Division in front of an announced crowd of almost 10,000 at Cooley Law School Stadium. As part of new rules for extra innings in the Midwest League this season, each team began the 10th with a runner on second. The first two batters were retired before Marshall came through and played at Dayton teammate Stuart Fairchild to cap the contest. Luggies young star Chavez Young also had an amazing experience getting some action with some of the league's top young talent. And per the new All-Star Game rules, if Marshall did not come through with the walk-off win, the game would have ended in a tie. So big moment for Montrell Marshall and an even bigger moment for the city of Lansing. It was quite the spectacle last night if you got the chance to go out and witness that All-Star Game. All right, the Detroit Tigers had to put their chance of becoming 500 for the first time in over 2 months on layaway as the Cincinnati Reds went on an offensive field day against starting pitcher Matthew Boyd. Joey Votto capped a grand slam big fly in the third inning yesterday that barely was out of reach of Nicholas Castellanos' home run robbery attempt. Detroit's offense could do little against Reds starter Sal Romano, who entered the game with a 5.67 ERA over 70 innings of work. He pitched seven scoreless innings, allowing just four hits, all singles. The Tigers now fall to 36 in 38 and remain second in the American League Central. The Old English D are currently playing the second game of the series against the Reds right now. And if my browser loads here, just to give you guys a quick score update on that game, the Tigers are up 1-0 in the bottom of the second. All right, former Detroit Tigers pitcher David Price is pitching like an all-star lately, but he has no interest in being one this year, even going as far as joking that he'd play a lot of Fortnite, the fan video game, to get out of pitching. Yeah, me too, all right? You know what? Brief pause real quick. You know what? I forgot to bring this up on the air when it happened. I think this happened. I was on my Xbox. This happened to be like a month ago. And Alec, current sports production assistant, I got your gamer tag. Was I planning to get you one night, Alec? I believe so. Put the mic on real quick.
I do not remember that. But
okay, I'm tripping then. Am I tripping then?
You could have. I mean, you very well could have.
I added your gamer tag, the gamer tag that you gave me.
Uh-huh.
And I started playing with that gamer tag you gave me, so I think it was you. I don't know. Or maybe it was a guy disguised.
Might have been one of my roommates.
Maybe. Ask your roommate later
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I'll have to ask.
If you played with I think it's Al0770. I think that's my Xbox gamer tag. But that's so funny. I'm like, oh, I'm playing with Alec, and I totally forgot about it. But Fortnite is just so addictive, isn't it?
Oh, it is so much fun. And the fact that they keep updating it means you're just constantly loving the game.
You are. Yeah. Thanos. Is Thanos still on there?
No, they took that off. But they introduced new game types and bring back fan favorites and stuff. And it's just so awesome.
I know my seasoned listeners out there are saying, Al, just move on. What the heck are you talking about right now? All right. Keep it. But I don't know what Fortnite is. I don't even know what a video game is. All right. Price was diagnosed actually with carpal tunnel syndrome earlier this year, and it was speculated that Price's video game habit was to blame. He said in May that while video games might have contributed to his carpal tunnel, they were not to blame for the origin of the swelling in his left thumb, index finger, and middle finger. He said he'd stopped playing Fortnite at the park to limit the distraction that it caused. Quote, I ain't going. I'm not an all-star. That's what Price told reporters on Tuesday via WBZ News Radio 1030's John Miller. He went on to say, quote, I feel like if they did select me, it would just be to get me to throw an extra inning. That would be a pretty pro move on his part. I'll come up with something. If I'm an all-star, so I won't have to pitch. I'll play a lot of Fortnite the night before, so I'll be down. So there you have that. David Price does not want to pitch in this year's All-Star game if selected, and he would rather play Fortnite instead. So there you have that. All right, the Detroit Lions have made a move to shake up their front office further, adding Jimmy Ray III to the mix as a senior personnel executive. Ray previously worked for the Houston Texans as assistant general manager and VP of player personnel. Ray played two games in the NFL as a wide receiver for the Rams in 1991, and the Jimmy Ray name may and should sound familiar to all of you Michigan State football fans out there, because his father, who we've had here on WKAR's Current Sports, his father played quarterback for Michigan State back in the 60s. So this is Jimmy Ray's son now being added to the Detroit Lions staff. All right, according to Westgate Las Vegas Superbook, the Michigan State Spartans have 7-1 odds to make a return to the college football playoff come next season. Now, the Spartans are tied with Florida State, Miami, Notre Dame, and Texas for the 11th best odds in the nation to reach the 4-team playoff. Now, they have the 5th best odds to reach the playoff among Big Ten teams, behind Ohio State at 5-4, Wisconsin 5-1, Penn State 6-1, and oddly enough, get this, Michigan sits at 3-1 odds to make it to the college football playoff next season. All right, according to multiple sources, the Charlotte Hornets have traded Dwight Howard to the Brooklyn Nets for Timofey Mozgov, 2 second-round draft picks, and cash considerations. Now, with the deal, the Nets save $17 million, giving them the cap room to create 2 max salary slots. Sources say the move came after the Hornets locker room grew, quote, sick and tired of his, Dwight's, act, end quote.
How about that? Dwight Howard, he can never go to a ball club and just make them better. It's always some drama with him, right? I think Dwight Howard is going to retire as one of the most underwhelming players who had so much potential in NBA history. Now, the Nets will be Dwight's fourth team over the last four seasons. Are you kidding me? Rockets, Hawks, Hornets. All right, and a quick World Cup update for you all. Cristiano Ronaldo did it again earlier today, scoring the winning goal in the fourth minute to put Portugal over Morocco 1-0. Now, with the win, Portugal now leads Group B with 4 points, followed by Iran with 3 and Spain with 1. Morocco has been eliminated from advancing. Uruguay took care of business against Saudi Arabia 1-0. And in doing so, eliminated both Saudi Arabia and Egypt from advancing. Now, Iran will face off against Spain later today with the opportunity to take or tie the lead in Group B. That game will take place at 2 p.m. on Fox. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it moving.
Been ready for it, but I feel like I'm more ready for it now, if you know what I'm saying.
You got a feel for it?
Yeah, I feel like I could be versatile. I could guard any position on the floor. I could play any position on the floor, so that definitely attracts teams.
Have teams asked you directly what position you see yourself at?
Yeah, they ask me that all the time, and I just say I don't have a position.
How do you think you can fit in with the Sixers?
I mean, I feel like any team within that draft range is a great fit for me. Philly's a great team. Obviously, they made the playoffs. They have great players. Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. I think I'll fit in with every team.
I mean, do you get goosebumps like I do whenever I hear this track? Ian Hawley, don't you just love the Rocky soundtrack, man? This theme. Don't you love the Rocky theme?
Literally every time someone turns it on, I just go insane.
Right?
I couldn't see there for a couple seconds when I heard the theme song come on.
I'm telling you, dude, I two of my favorite songs, probably my two favorite songs of all time, is the Rocky theme that you're still hearing in the background. I love this track. And also, In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins.
Oh,
I mean,
fantastic.
Yeah, those two tracks, I actually start my workout. Every time I go into the gym, I'm playing In the Air Tonight before I work out. But this track, man, is like, I get chills, I get goosebumps. It gives me flashbacks to when I'm growing up watching the Rocky films. The reason I'm playing, you're sitting there, okay, why are you playing this, Al, right? Well, I'm excited today because I saw the poster floating around social media yesterday. Creed 2. Michael B. Jordan. It's a spinoff from the Rocky movies. If you haven't seen Creed 1, what are you doing with your life? But Creed 2, the poster for Creed 2, Apollo Creed, you know, one of Rocky's best friends back during the Rocky series. Spoiler alert, and I don't care if I spoil this for you. If you haven't seen the Rocky movies, what is wrong with you? But Apollo Creed dies, and I believe Rocky IV, facing Ivan Drago in the ring. And Creed is a spinoff in which, you know, you follow Creed's son, Apollo Creed's son, Adonis. And Creed 1, it was absolutely a remarkable movie. It's one of the movies that put Ryan Coogler really on the map. I think it started, you know, with his fantastic directorial career with Fruitvale Station, in which Michael B. Jordan also starred in. And then Creed came out, and you're like, oh, my gosh, this Ryan Coogler kid is amazing. And then, of course, Ryan Coogler went on to direct Black Panther, which just broke so many records in the world of cinema, in the Marvel universe, right? Ryan Coogler isn't the director for Creed 2, which I was a bit salty about because, you know, he felt like they kind of rushed the production process with it. Sylvester Stallone has written Creed 2. Ryan Coogler, he wrote Creed 1. And you also have Michael B. Jordan, of course, starring again as Adonis. And Stephen Caple Jr., who was another breakout director, he is directing this one. But I saw yesterday the poster was released, and they said they were going to drop the trailer today. And lo and behold, I went online, and there you go. That was one of the first things that popped up on my feed was the trailer to Creed 2, and it looks so good. So good. But I will say this. First off, Ian Hawley, have you seen Creed 1? Have you watched Creed 1?
Yes,
please,
sir.
Tell me you've seen
it. Yes,
okay,
sir.
You've seen Creed 1. Very original. It really reminded me a bit of the very first Rocky, which, you know, put Sylvester Stallone, you know, really on the map. And actually, Sly, he won a Golden Globe for his performance in Creed 1, the first time he had won a Golden Globe since Rocky 1. So it just puts in perspective how great his performance was in Creed 1. But Creed 2, the trailer looks amazing. Looks amazing. And I think Stephen Caple Jr., who, you know, like Coogler, he broke out at the Sundance Film Festival with his film The Land, and he really continues to just grow as a director. I think Stephen Caple Jr. is a great director, but the storyline is kind of predictable in this. You know, I was a bit nervous when I heard, and I still am a bit nervous, you know, before seeing this movie because, you know, the first one was so good. It was so original. And now Sly takes over writing it. And, of course, Apollo Creed's son is going to face the son of the man who killed his father in the ring in Rocky IV, in Ivan Drago's son. It's a bit predictable, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not really feeling that storyline, if you ask me. It's like, all right, well, you could have did that in Creed 1. And that's what made Creed 1 so special, because it was just original. He wasn't fighting the guy, the son of the man who killed his father in the ring in Rocky IV. It's kind of predictable. So I'm hoping there's some more original context to Creed 2, just like we saw in Creed 1. But that's tough to do. I don't know what Sly is doing here, but I hope he pulls it off.
It feels too much like Inigo Montoya. You kill my father, prepare to die. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right, exactly.
We can go in a new direction with this.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that really isn't the foundation of the story. I know that now in, you know, just watching the trailer, you know, after his success, even though, spoiler alert, he loses, much like in Rocky 1, even though Adonis Creed loses that last fight to end the movie. Now he's famous. Now everybody knows that he's Apollo Creed's son. He's trying to deal with fame now. It looks like, according to the trailer, Tessa Thompson, who plays his girlfriend, they now have a child together now. So there's some other elements to this movie. I'm just hoping it lives up or just gets close to the original, which, as we know in movies, is always tough to do, right, Ian?
Well, and it's always disappointing when they change directors midway through a series. I mean, they did the same thing with Star Wars in the new trilogy, 7, 8, and 9, that's coming out.
Right.
They don't have George Lucas directing it. It's almost like if J.K. Rowling had sold the book rights to Harry Potter halfway through the series and let someone else write the rest of the books, you know?
Yeah.
It would have probably been good, but it wouldn't have been as good as if the original person with the original idea had been doing it. So
I guess I can kind of get some comfort in knowing that Ryan Coogler is still a producer on the movie. He's still involved in some way, shape, or form. So I'm excited. I saw the trailer. It looks good. Let's just hope it's good when it's released in November around Thanksgiving. So we'll see what happens. All right. I transitioned from that to now the NBA draft, because it is NBA draft eve. I'm excited for it. However, I must admit that my excitement is a bit tempered, because I don't believe that this year's NBA draft class is going to be as good as last year's. However, I am excited from the local standpoint of watching Jaren Jackson Jr., who has gone now one and done for the Michigan State men's basketball team, and Miles Bridges, who now leaves after two seasons under the leadership of Tom Izzo. Watching both Jackson Jr. and Bridges cross that stage, shake the hand of Adam Silver tomorrow out in New York, and make their NBA dreams come true. I am really looking forward to that moment because these are two players who I have covered, who I've gotten to know due to, you know, being on the beat here in East Lansing, Michigan, covering the team. Jaren Jackson Jr., he is just uber charismatic, came in really used to the cameras, joking with the reporters, just an all-around great young man. And it's still amazing. I mean, again, he's going to have two seasons in the NBA before, you know, he turns 21. I mean, that's simply amazing. And then Miles Bridges, who is really one of the most athletic players I've ever covered. And from a personality standpoint, for Miles Bridges, one of the nicest young athletes I have ever covered in my life. I always tell the story of how, you know, during a media scrum, in media scrums, you know, reporters are trying to talk over each other and trying to time when there's a pause in whoever that athlete is. Trying to time when there's a pause, when that athlete is done answering a question so that you can jump in and ask your question, right? Well, there was a moment, this happens all the time, there's a moment where, you know, I began to ask my question and another reporter, you know, starts to ask his question. And I let the other reporter go and ask his question. And then Miles stops and says, "Don't worry, I got you right after." That never happens. That never happens during a media scrum. You know, usually athletes just says, all right, we'll go with your question. You know, but Miles is just so nice. You know, at Moneyball, watching him these past two summers sign each and every one of your autographs, fans, doing it, you know, with so much class, taking every picture, saying the right things, doing the right things away from the court, just an unbelievably good person. Seeing these two young men cross the stage, so well deserving of this honor for both of them. Now, when it comes to the NBA draft, I'm not going to give you right now the order of my draft picks. I just want to comment on a few players here, including Jaren Jackson Jr. and Miles Bridges, and where I believe they are going to be slated come tomorrow night. Now, I will say this, though. Ian, I think it's pretty much in the bag that DeAndre Ayton, center from Arizona, 7'1", 250 pounds, he's going to go number one to the Phoenix Suns. Even though there was a lot of talk, even about, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr., he had a fabulous workout with the Suns. The Suns were tremendously intrigued by him. I mean, DeAndre Ayton, I mean, it looks like this dude. Have you seen this dude? I mean, it looks like he was, like, you know, crafted in a lab by scientists.
He's fantastic.
I mean, this dude's body looks like Adonis Creed, really. I mean, it's amazing. You know, and his intensity, you know, really was up and down, I will say, at times as a young freshman, you know, just one season at Arizona. But again, he's a freshman. You know, he's a one-and-done prospect. His upside is tremendous. He was dominant offensively, you know, and he really has yet to scratch the surface of his upside. Ayton is so confident that he is going to become the number one overall draft pick that earlier this month, he told reporters, quote, direct quote from DeAndre Ayton, "I know I'm going number one," end quote. That's what DeAndre Ayton had to say. So to let that get out the bag, I think we can both agree that we believe DeAndre Ayton is going to go number one.
Oh, yeah. He's a freak of nature. He's a very talented athlete. And let's not forget who's playing at Arizona, who was under heavy scrutiny from that FBI investigation. So much like Michigan State with a lot of off-court nonsense, DeAndre Ayton had to deal with a lot of off-court Arizona nonsense going on as well, something that he clearly had no part in. Depends on who you ask, though. Depends on which reports you are reading.
Same thing you can say when it comes to Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson Jr. with this whole, you know, with the Larry Nassar scandal, mm-hmm. right? And the scrutiny that was on Tom Izzo
exactly.
and the Michigan State men's basketball program, right? So, yeah.
A lot of off-court nonsense that he had to deal with. So, considering all that and the fact that he was playing with, the other players who were on his team, you know, he didn't necessarily have the help that a Miles Bridges had with a Jaren Jackson-type player mm-hmm. to bounce off of. Considering all that, I think it's no question that he goes number one. He definitely deserves to go number one. He's got the talent and the athleticism, and I wish him all the best of luck in the NBA. He's clearly going to make a lot more money than I am next year.
All of us combined here at WKR. Without it, I mean, these NBA salaries now are just through the roof with the whole new TV contract. Next, I want to comment on Luka Doncic real quick. He's a guard from Real Madrid. Doncic, I think, is the most NBA-ready player in the draft, even though he's just 19 years old. He's already proved himself against pretty good professional competition. I mean, this past season, Luka Doncic became the youngest player in the EuroLeague to win both the regular season Most Valuable Player Award and the Final Four Most Valuable Player Award, really carrying Real Madrid to the championship. I mean, he's got an impressive skill set. He's also able to deliver on the game's big stages. Again, Final Four MVP in the EuroLeague. Now, there is talk that he may slide out of the top three. But, I mean, he's going to be a lottery pick. I'd be absolutely stunned if multiple NBA teams pass on him when looking at his resume against competition in the EuroLeague. So I think he may, well, I don't want to give out my picks yet. I'm just saying, I like Luka Doncic in this draft. Jaren Jackson Jr., Michigan State, power forward. Now, you can look at Jaren's, you know, numbers. I mean, he averaged just 10.9 points per game, almost 6 rebounds per game last season. That doesn't jump off the page. That's not real sexy, Ian. But, you know, he's one of the youngest players in the draft. Has so much potential. I talked about his measurements. You know, he measures at ideally 6 feet, 6'11", 7'5" wingspan, well-rounded game. And when it comes to the defensive side of the basketball, I think that's what really makes him an interesting prospect here. He blocked more shots than DeAndre Ayton and Marvin Bagley combined, and also shot a higher percentage from three-point territory than Trae Young, who many people believe is going to be the next Steph Curry, which I don't think Trae Young.
I don't know about that. Let's pump the brakes on that.
Can we please chill on that? I've been hearing that, you know, since last season when it comes to Trae Young. I think Trae Young's great, but next Steph Curry, I'm not going that far. Not going that far. But again, you know, Jackson blocking more shots than Ayton and Bagley combined. Jackson had 106 block shots in comparison to Ayton and Bagley, who combined had 95. And again, I talked about his three-point percentage. Jaren Jackson Jr. shot 39.6% from deep. Trae Young sitting at a 36% clip. This is what makes Jaren Jackson such an intriguing prospect, because he's so good on the defensive side of the basketball. He's so lengthy. He has yet to tap into his potential as an offensive machine. This is what makes him such a sexy pick. Marvin Bagley III, power forward out of Duke. He entered Duke with great expectations. He was able to live up to the hype, in my estimation, Ian. I mean, he set an ACC freshman record by recording 22 double-doubles, became the first player in ACC history to average at least 20 points, 10 rebounds per game, while shooting over 60%. Unbelievably impressive. When you look at that stat, I mean, at least 20 points, 10 rebounds per game, shooting over 60% from the floor, the first ACC player in ACC history to do that since the great Tim Duncan back in the mid-90s, 1996-97. Very impressive. Mo Bamba, center from Texas, dominant defensively since, you know, dating back to his high school days. And last season as a freshman at Texas, he averaged 3.7 blocks, 10 rebounds in 30 minutes per contest. Now, that's in large part due to his crazy 8-foot wingspan In addition, since the end of his freshman season, Bamba has been working with some of the top trainers in the game, dramatically improved the form and mechanics of his jumper as well. And now you're starting to see, you know, reports come out that Bamba can hit the three ball. And that's the thing about today's NBA. If you're a big man, again, gone is the true center in today's National Basketball Association. What scouts, GMs, and coaches want to see from a player who is over 6 foot six, you got to be able to shoot. You can't just live in the paint anymore because of how the game has evolved. I think Mo Bamba is a really intriguing prospect. And you know what? Alec, I believe, told me yesterday, and I saw this story floating around. Alec, isn't there a report out when it comes to Mo Bamba that he wants to go to a specific team?
No, it was actually he declined revealing medical records to the Grizzlies and he preferred not to be selected by the Grizzlies.
Right. Yeah, okay, so he kind of isolated the Memphis Grizzlies. I remember you and I talking about that yesterday, which is just a stupid move. I mean, yeah, I think all of these guys in have a team they want to play for. They have a dream team that they've been probably dreaming about playing for and suiting up for since they were little tykes. But you can't come out and say, yeah, I want to play for this team and not that team, because that is a blow to your character. The mindset you got to have when it comes to any draft, whether it be the NBA, NFL, whatever draft you're talking about, is that it's just an honor to be selected. It's kind of like, you know, my loser speech during the Emmys over the weekend. Did I want to win an Emmy? Sure. But when I lose, it's just an honor to be nominated. Mm-hmm. It's just an honor to be in this kind of elite company. You can't isolate yourself and say, I don't want to go to your team, because then it looks really, really bad from a character standpoint. It just does.
Well, I've been kind of going through the same thing with trying to find a full-time job, you know. Obviously, there's a dream job that I would like to have, you know, being on SportsCenter every night for ESPN, but that's obviously not going to happen for me. So I'm going to take whatever job I can get and work my way up from there. Right. You know, eventually I'll be able to have that dream job, but it's probably not right now. So if I, again, like Mo Bamba, I would just be happy that I'm in the NBA draft at all, and I have the opportunity to make millions and millions of dollars next year playing for any organization.
Exactly. And if you said that the Grizzlies actually have the fourth overall pick in the NBA draft, the Mavs after that, the Orlando Magic after that, we'll see what happens when it comes to Mo Bamba and whether or not that hurts his draft stock. I don't see – he'll be a lottery pick, though. Trae Young, we just mentioned him. You know, Young posting a record-breaking freshman campaign with Oklahoma, becoming the first player in NCAA history to lead Division I basketball in both scoring and assist in the same season. However, the big knock on Trae Young is looking at how he ended the back end of his career at Oklahoma in that freshman campaign. His numbers kind of faded away a little bit, and I think teams were starting to figure out how to guard Trae Young. His size is a question. His defense is a question, but he still will be a lottery pick in my estimation as well. Michael Porter Jr., four from Missouri. It's interesting when it comes to him. I think out of any draft prospect in, Michael Porter Jr. is the one that I look at and I say to myself, I wouldn't be surprised if he fell. There's one reason why. I think Porter Jr. is a great player, but he's a wild card in this draft because of his health. That's the thing when it comes to Michael Porter Jr. I mean, coming out of high school last year, top-rated player in the country, projected as a top overall pick. He missed the majority of his freshman season, though, at Mizzou after having back surgery on, you know, his L3 and L4 spinal disc. Based on talent alone, I mean, he could go in the top three, but his health is a question. When you have a back injury, there is like an 80% chance that you're going to fully recover, but then you have that 20% chance kind of looming out there where this could really hinder your career. And then you look at the travel schedule of NBA players. I mean, you're constantly on a plane and you're sitting up and it may be uncomfortable. I mean, that could really do numbers on your back. So it's really a wild card. I don't know if a lot of teams are sitting out there saying, okay, Michael Porter Jr. with that back surgery is going to be our guy for 10 plus years. I don't know. Back injuries are really 50-50 in my estimation. I like Michael Porter Jr., but we'll see. And I think there's a potential for him to fall because of that back surgery. And real briefly, you know, Miles Bridges. You know, Miles, I see him going anywhere from 10 to 15. The snippet that you just heard intermixed with that Rocky theme introduction was Miles Bridges during, after his workout with the Philadelphia 76ers and commenting on what he needs to improve on, what kind of asset he could be to the team. That was after a workout with Philly, with the 76ers. And Philly actually has the 10th pick. It's being reported that they really liked Miles Bridges. Right now, when it comes to Bridges, I don't know if he's going to be a small forward or a power forward in the league. I think regardless if he plays the PF or the SF position, I think that he's going to be able to make an impact regardless. He's got, you know, a combination of size, strength. He's athletic. I don't know. I think that when it comes to Miles, and I've heard this point made a lot as well, does Miles' nice guy mentality hurt him at all? Are teams looking for that dog, that killer instinct in him? Because I think that they are. I think sometimes Miles is too nice on the basketball court. I've seen Jaren Jackson Jr. talk some trash, get into the opposition's face. I mean, we saw it sometimes with Miles, but for the most part, you know, Miles is he's goody two shoes. You know, hey, I'm a great player. You know, hey, good competition. I'm classy. You know, got Tim Duncan, you know, kind of mentality. I don't know. I'm 50-50 when it comes to Miles. But and it's so crazy because if this was me talking about Miles Bridges after his freshman season, the conversation would have been totally different. I mean, Miles is ready, you know, for the NBA. He's got that dog. I don't know.
Do you think that extra year hurt him as far as his draft stock goes?
Yes, I do. I do think it did hurt him. I'm not going to hold you up, man. I think that, you know, that second year, I think two things were exposed. I don't believe in Miles creating his own shot. I think that, you know, he has to play with a good guard who can find him on the wing for a setup jumper or you know, he's better at cleaning up garbage, getting that rebound and going back up or on the fast break, just slamming it down and using that athletic ability. But when Miles is face up with his opposition in that triple threat position, I think he's a bit exposed. I don't know if he has a go-to move. I question the first step from time to time. And now his jump shot has improved. I think he settled for it and fell in love with it a little too much during his sophomore season. And defensively, I think he could get better as well. So in that regard, I do think it hurt him. I thought that Miles Bridges was a guaranteed lottery pick last season. This season, he's going to be looking just outside of the top 10.
That's fair. And I kind of feel the same way. You said it yourself. When we talk to him in interviews, he's so humble, so personable, but I think that hurts him a lot because he doesn't. Maybe if he were a little bit more mean and a little bit more aggressive, we would have made it out of the first round this year. Now, that's not to put our loss on Miles Bridges because that's obviously not fair. But if Miles Bridges is able to take over and dominate a game in a crunch time scenario like we had against Syracuse in some of those big moments, then maybe things would have gone a little differently for Michigan State. Now, I don't think necessarily that he's soft in any way, but I don't think he's overly aggressive either. I think he needs to work on that a little bit. But I agree with you, some technical things that he could get better on. But I think the opportunity that he was presented with at Michigan State to come back for a sophomore season will put NBA scouts in a much better position to be able to judge him and judge how he will play in the NBA. So I think, you know, there was a little bit of help, a little bit of hurt, but I don't think Miles Bridges is going to fall too far. You know, I look at him as a 12, 13, 14 pick, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
I think he'll work on it in the NBA. He'll get it all tightened up, and I think he's to be honest with you, I think he's a little bit better of a power forward than a wing, so I hope he plays down low a little bit more. But we'll see how it goes. We'll see where he gets selected.
I really think he could play either. I mean, now I would have said that after his first season. Like, yeah, he needs to really stick to that power forward position. I think he's going to flourish there. But now that he's added that jump shot now, I could see him playing really either one now. You know, small forward, he'll be a great wing player, you know, where you can kick it out to him maybe on the break or some penetration and kick options out to him on the wing to knock down that three.
Who knows? Before we hit our first break, I do want to acknowledge the Detroit Tigers. They have a 2-0 lead in the bottom of the fourth inning right now. So how about the old English D there? And also, Phil Mickelson has apologized for hitting his moving ball on Saturday's third round of the U.S. Open. He apologized today, saying, quote, "I know this should have come sooner, but it's taken me a few days to calm down. My anger and frustration got the best of me last weekend. I'm embarrassed and disappointed by my actions. It was clearly not my finest moment, and I'm sorry." I don't know if Phil needed to issue an apology.
Maybe not one like that. Maybe he could have said, "I'm sorry if I offended anybody with my actions," but...
Yeah, which is basically what he said after that third round. He didn't take any questions on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he needed to say anything further, though. But I hear you. I mean, Phil just wanted to, he's heard the backlash and the criticism from the bougie, the bad and bougie golf fans out there, Ian. So I guess he wanted to just, get on the record and set everything straight and come across as, look, I'm sorry if I offended anybody. Anger and frustration got the best of me. Let's hit this break. When we come back on the back end of the show, I want to get to something interesting that Miles Bridges said today out in New York City as he prepares for the NBA draft. When we come back, we will talk about the one and done rule and the modification that could be coming in the world of college basketball. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We have about 12 minutes left here in the hour. If you would like to weigh in on the NBA draft, which will be taking place tomorrow, we'll have an NBA draft special for tomorrow's Current Sports. And we'll be on the scene, really, tomorrow, seeing as though we'll have Deshaun Tate, college basketball expert for CBS Radio down in Atlanta. Deshaun Tate will be in New York reporting on the NBA draft, and he'll be joining me live here on WKAR's Current Sports from NYC and setting the scene, talking about what, the NBA draft prospects will be wearing. That's always fun to watch. We talked about it a bit with the NFL draft, what these guys are wearing. The NBA players really go all out with the suits they wear. And, I think the new thing now is within the lining of the jacket, there's always something cool in a cool design or some kind of cool stitching. So I'm curious to see what Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson Jr. will be rocking tomorrow. And we've been talking about just that, the draft stock of multiple NBA lottery prospects, including Jaren Jackson Jr. and Miles Bridges. What are your thoughts? If you would like to chime in, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Also brought to you the breaking news before we hit break one that Phil Mickelson has apologized for losing his cool, flipping his wig, and hitting his moving ball on the 13th hole of the third round of the U.S. Open, apologizing, saying, "My anger and frustration got the best of me last weekend. It was clearly not my finest moment, and I am sorry." I don't think that Phil needed to issue that apology, but I get it. And that was an apology more so for the bougie golf fans out there. And also the Detroit Tigers leading the Cincinnati Reds 2-0 in the bottom of the fourth inning. And also Connor Hayes, who is behind the glass right now. Connor, I know that you wanted to bring a story to us concerning the draft profile of Miles Bridges and a certain player by the name of LeBron James.
Yeah, so Miles Bridges actually had signed with Rick Paul, And it came out like 20 minutes ago. Bleach Report, what's his name? Yaron Weitzman did a profile on him. And we all know that Draymond Green constantly was endorsing Miles Bridges throughout the season. But apparently recently LeBron has given Miles his stamp of approval. So right now there is a couple of prospects that LeBron was interested for, for the Cavs or for whoever he wants to go to. And it's Miles Bridges, Colin Sexton from Alabama, and Trae Young from Oklahoma.
Interesting. So LeBron has got his eye on Miles Bridges. And also, Trae Young. I mean, if you've heard LeBron talk about Trae Young, I mean, LeBron seems like he would love to play with Trae Young. I think LeBron thinks that Trae Young is going to be the next Steph Curry, Connor. What do you think about Trae Young? What are your thoughts on Trae?
I don't know. I feel like he got exposed. I feel like a lot of times, especially as the ESPN hype train behind him built, he started to, kind of take games into his own hand. He started to shoot from half court when he could have passed, or he could have taken another two dribbles and would have had an open shot.
Right.
He doesn't really sell me. I think he could develop into maybe a shooter, but I don't see him being a Steph Curry type superstar or anything like that.
Exactly. And you know what? I'm Connor, you should have just jumped on me right now because I called you Connor Hayes.
I was about to get you for that.
I always do this. You know, we had a Connor Hayes as a PA back in the day, and every time I say Connor, I want to say Hayes. Connor Mathis, of course. Connor, next time I do that, dude, you have permission to come in this studio and slap me in the face next time I do this, all right? Because I've done it far too long. Connor Mathis, thank you so much for bringing that story to us. With that being said, line one, Jason wants to weigh in on the U.S. Open, which was like playing on ice for 4 days. Jason, what's up, my man?
Not much, my brother. What's going on?
Nothing much. I know you went to weigh in on the U.S. Open. What were your thoughts on what you saw this past weekend and also on the Phil Mickelson apology for what happened on Thursday, Sunday?
Phil's apology, it is what it is, I know yourself, myself, we've all been there when our ball's done something like that, running off after we've taken so many strokes and whatnot, but... that is what it is with Phil. Phil's a consummate professional, and he's admitting what he did was wrong. So, Phil's good in my book. But the guy that I had picked, once again, I thought DJ was going to be the guy, and he was for the first 54.
Right.
And then once again, DJ gets into a championship match for the tournament. And something happens to his putter. Something happens to his driver. He's not hitting his wedges right. And once again, DJ lost another major that he was at.
Yeah, I really thought that that Dustin Johnson was going to really pull this off. And he looked great through the first three rounds. I mean, right there, and then the wheels kind of fall off on the biggest day in the fourth round. But DJ is still, I believe he's still ranked number one, isn't he?
He's still ranked number one. He had to finish in the top 12 to stay number one. He did, so he's good there.
Right.
But, to see Brooks Koepka win it, with everything that Brooks has went through in the last three seasons, he won it last year, and then he had that issue with his left hand, and he was out for, 3-4 months last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then to see him come back on a full recovery the way he did and win it, I think it's great. And I still think it's great to actually have watched the whole thing and seen that there are some pros out there that play the way we do that are finishing, 10, 12, 15, 18 over par.
Yeah, but Jason, that course was too hard, though. There's a limit. And watching, that was tough to watch. Watching these high scores, I want to see some birdies out there just from the casual fan perspective. Now, I'm not the casual fan. I love watching golf on the regular in front of my TV tube. And but for the casual golf fan, that's a turnoff seeing these high scores and watching athletes struggle,
It is. But I can equate to – kind of what they went through, because I played in one of the first tournaments ever at Eagle Eye when it opened, and with the thick cut rough, then that heather grass that's there and stuff, you can lose your ball, and it is very hard to hit out of. There's no doubt about it. You know, but it is what it is. You know, next year is going to be great. They're going to be out at out there at Pebble Beach next year. And, you know, Pebble Beach has always had low scores for a U.S. Open. So, you know, next year I'm looking to see the winner 10-12 under par, just because that's how Pebble Beach has always played for any tournament they've had with the PGA. Somebody's always under par winning it. So, but this was the first time, I think they said the first time in 34 years that somebody was over par that actually won the U.S. Open.
Right. Exactly. And so, I think they need to reevaluate it. That's just me, though.
Oh,
but,
there's no... And
yeah.
I don't necessarily like the USGA saying what is and what is not at a PGA tournament. I think the PGA should be running the whole thing, not the USGA, even though it is the U.S. Open.
Right.
You should let the professionals run it. You should let the PGA run it, and not the not just your amateurs that are in big business and stuff that, you know, have the money to be sitting in the spots with the USGA that are.
Preach on, man. You are preaching to the choir. Jason, great takes,
and
man.
And I can't wait to watch tomorrow night, because, you know, I'm looking for Jaren to go in the top three.
Yeah,
I don't see any problem there, and you know, I'm right with Alex. I think Miles is anywhere, I'm going to say, from 11 to 14, 15. So,
all right. We'll
but,
see.
It's going to be a great draft. See a couple Spartans make it out there, and we're going to have to get out and hit the sticks soon, brother.
Please, let's do it, man. Thank you
all
so
right,
much, Jason.
Be easy. Have a good one.
Always. And before we, you know, we have less than 90 seconds now, you know, with the NBA draft quickly approaching, you know, the NBA has sent a memo implying its intention to scrap the one-and-done rule within the next few years. I love it. Miles Bridges made an interesting comment out in NYC when it comes to why he returned to Michigan State for a second season, saying that, look, I came back because, you know, I was enjoying the college experience. And when it comes to one and dones, I feel like a lot of them have one foot in the NBA and the other foot in college. A very good point there. I'll elaborate further on it tomorrow. I guess we're going to have to table this whole Madden, Matthew Stafford, and Andrew Luck conversation. I promise I'll get to that tomorrow as well. And we'll have thoughts on the odds for MSU and U of M to make the college football playoff. But primarily, we're going to be focusing on the NBA draft tomorrow. Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio in Atlanta will be joining us from NYC. Don't miss it. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Be easy, people.